All right, well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Mother's Day and all this messes up my preaching. I've got other things in mind, but it's Mother's Day. So, and you know I'm famous for Mother's Day messages, you know. Ain't that right? I've got a few chewings for Mother's Day messages over the phone and otherwise. Yeah. Oh, well, maybe I'll learn one of these days. All right, I'm not really going to do that this morning, no. This is just something we need to hear. It's really an important matter. Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus said, "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Wow, pretty strong. Mark chapter 10, verse 19. Again, Jesus said, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. And honor thy father and mother." Wow. It's funny. If you study the Bible and you see where this is included in the list and in the circumstances and what he associates it with, he really does mean this seriously. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, it's one of the Ten Commandments. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." We just read it there. "That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So, to honor our father and mother is a command of God. And we're living in a time where, you know, with all the broken families and where everybody don't even know who their father is, and a lot of people don't even have known their mother. And I've preached this kind of message before and on this subject, and people are confused because they don't know what to do. They have a mother that they can't honor. I've heard that. They have a father they can't honor. They've got... or they don't even know where he is or who he was or anything like that. How can you honor somebody you don't know? Well, here's the deal. Somebody brought you up. Somebody kept you alive. Somebody raised you. Somebody had input into your life. And that's what matters. You know, to me, these messages that get me in trouble at Mother's Day is when I preach about just because you bore a child doesn't mean you're a mother. Or just because you sired a child don't mean you're a father. That's not what it's about. It's your life that's put into somebody. And I know people who've never had any children who've been more of a mother and more of a father than biological parents have been. And so that's not, God don't pick apart things like, he's not, that ain't what he's talking about. Just because somebody birthed you or somebody was the father of you, biologically, that ain't what you need to focus on here this morning. Somebody raised you. Somebody was a father to you. Somebody was a mother to you. I know I can say that to you in here. There's a lot of people that have a problem right there because nobody was a father to them. Nobody was a mother to them. This book we were talking about, John Newton, that was the major thing that put him in the clutches of the devil, as he lost his mother when he was a little bitty boy. And his father came home. First time he seen his father after his mother died, he had another wife. And he was just kind of sidelined. It's a real important matter. And so God has a lot of importance on it. You can't make excuses. You can't excuse yourself. No way. Nobody can excuse themselves from this commandment of God. It is the fifth commandment. It's one of the pillars of righteousness that we talked about here a couple of years ago. This is one of the first five commandments. I mean, the pillars. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Not take the Lord's name in vain. No graven images. And keep the Sabbath day and honor thy father and mother. And everything else is built on that morally. Everything, every bit of the moral law stands on these right here. And so, it's mighty important. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good service this far, for Sunday school and the songs. And Lord, we thank you for the scripture. Pray you bless it now and open our hearts to understand it and receive it and obey it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to honor your father and mother, it's a command of God. Now, God doesn't say, he doesn't suggest it. He doesn't give you any options. You can't check no boxes. It's you do it. You honor your father and your mother. Seven times in the New Testament, and six of those times, it was Jesus himself who said it, honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. It's one of the Ten Commandments, and it's the first of the last six that deal with our relationships with other men, other people. And so to fail to comply with it is every bit as bad as failing to comply with any of the other Ten Commandments. Don't you see? There's not an exception in it. There's not parentheses around it. It's not an option in the midst of the other nine that are commandments. It's a commandment of God. And so if you fail, if you transgress in one point of the law, what does the Bible say? You transgressed in all of them. I mean, you failed in one, you failed in them all. The moral law is it's like dominoes that are stacked together. It all stands together or it all falls together. You can't violate one without violating them all the way God arranged them. And so this is mighty important. A lot of people do all of them except one, all of them except two. Or they'll do one and then not any of the rest. And imagine that they've got some kind of merit in that or there's some kind of value to it. And no, it's not. It's more condemning to you than anything else. Now, that means it's immoral. It's as immoral and wrong as murder. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt honor thy father and mother. Well, one or the other. It's the same deal. You're as wrong, you're as guilty as murderer, as a thief, as an adulterer, as a liar. All of these things are on equal ground here. Somehow it's come to have a lot less significance to the people of this generation. It's broken all the time by people who claim to be Christians, as though it doesn't have any importance at all anymore. What difference does it make? This is the commandment, this one, that Jesus used to show those Pharisees what hypocrites they were. There in Matthew chapter 15, again in verses 3 through 9, it says this, "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" See, they were on him because they accused him of doing something on the Sabbath day. Sabbath keepers. Well, that's one of the Ten Commandments. But here they are accusing him of breaking the Sabbath while they're doing this. He said, "For God commanded, honor thy father and thy mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, see, they've got their own interpretation. They've twisted it around to the where they're excusable for doing this, ignoring this commandment, doing whatever they please. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free." God says he shall die. You says he'll be free. That's Jesus said, you're the one in contradicting yourself. He's the one. He's proving that they're hypocrites. You say you believe the commandments, and your accusation against me is because I'm breaking a commandment, which he wasn't. And then you say you're on the opposite side of God here. You don't see God's commandment anything like God does. You're teaching men the opposite of what God's teaching them about him. "Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but with their heart is far from me." But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We talked about worship last week. See, it's not all acceptable to God. Honor means to fix a value upon. It means to revere, value, to value them, to recognize their worth. It means most precious, dear, beloved. Webster says that it means to revere, to respect, to treat with, I can't already read this morning, with deference and submission. Do you know what that means? Deference? That even if you think you're right, you say, yes, sir. You don't contradict. You don't defy. You don't try to prove them wrong in front of everybody else. Deference. That's good practice for to do with everybody. As a Christian, you better just defer. There's times we got to stand for what's right. We got to speak the truth and all that. But most of the time, you better off just be quiet and just let God deal with it. There's this thing about John Newton, I can't get it out of my mind very far, but that's what I told her. I said, look at this. All of his life, all them years, there wasn't a soul. There wasn't a preacher talk to him. There wasn't another Christian talk to him. There wasn't nobody said nothing to him. I mean, and it wouldn't have done any good if they had have. I mean, God called his number one day. And God made, he affected the difference in his life. Submission and perform relative duties too. Bible says, he that provideth not for his own is worse than an infidel and hath denied the faith. In that context, it is talking about your elderly relatives, not just your parents, your aunts, uncles, everybody. You don't take care of your older family, you're worse than an infidel. And you've denied the faith. You don't believe God. If you just turn them out and ignore them, you're not honoring your parents when you don't even have anything to do with them. I've known religious people in our family who wouldn't even come to see their parents until they come to the funeral. Wouldn't call, wouldn't do nothing, and claim to be religious and all of this. And that's, I can just tell you right straight from the Word of God, that's phony and false. That ain't real. That ain't real Christianity. Honor your father and your mother. You can't ignore them. I'm still reading Webster, to reverence, to manifest the highest veneration for. It's amazing to me that heathen countries like the Asians and other people and even Africans honor their old people. I mean, it's a major thing in their culture to reverence and honor. And God says all through his word, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Yeah. All right, manifest the highest veneration for, in words and actions both, to entertain the most exalted thoughts of, or worship, to worship and adore. Now that's the dictionary definition of honor. To treat with due civility and respect in the ordinary intercourse of life, in conversation. Doesn't something in you revolt at a person talking to an elderly parent in demeaning, degrading terms or voice? Yes, it does. It's very offensive to my soul and my spirit because it's wrong. It's wrong. It's ungodly. To dignify, to raise, to distinction or notice, to elevate in mark or station, to exalt. Now see, we honor people and we have these ceremonies and stuff to honor certain people. I mean, the president has people in and have a ceremony and he bestows on them the Medal of Honor or some other award like that. And that's what is he doing? He's honoring them. We honor what we highly esteem. If you don't highly esteem it, you're not going to honor it. And that includes parents. When we We honor what we recognize is higher rank. And see, we're living in a generation of rebellion where they don't recognize any kind of authority. They despise it. Any kind of rank, they despise it. But there's no order in life, and nothing will work unless there is order of authority and rank. God set it up that way. And everything in His kingdom operates that way. You better believe it. Even the devil operates his kingdom according to that. Nothing can't work. I mean, nothing's going to work when it's anarchy and disarray and disorder. We talk about law and what? Order. Law and order. There's got to be order. Well, if there's going to be law and order, there's got to be order of rank. And so to honor somebody is to recognize that they're higher than me. They're farther down the road than I am. They know things I don't know yet. And hopefully one day I will. They've been down roads I ain't traveled. They've had experiences I have never had. When you honor people, you recognize that. Socially, financially, and physically, every which way. We're ranked. You know, it's just the way it is. I hate to break this news to you this morning, but you're not the top of the totem pole. No. I know everybody thinks they are kind of. They just think, it seems to me like that, that everybody thinks the world and the sun and the moon revolve around them. And that everything in sight is there to serve them and is to be subject to them. But the sooner you figure out that it ain't that way, the better off you're going to be. The better off you're going to be able to navigate the rest of your life. To honor anyone is to remember the noble deeds they've done and the sacrifices they've made for you and others. You don't know, you know, like I've heard it said so many times. My mom always said to me, you'll never pay for your raising until you raise your own. Yeah. Roy told me when I asked to marry her, he said, you'll never know what love is till you have your children. Right? You don't know what it costs until you pay it yourself. And it ain't something that happens in a labor room in 30 minutes. No, it's what happens in a lifetime. You know, once you have children, they're always your children. You know, and I see these young ones, you know, you have these babies, and boy, they're such a handful, and it just wears you out, and you don't sleep at night, and you just, it's wore out, and they just run you to death, and you think it's going to get better. Well, it changes, let me tell you. But you'll never, till the day you draw your last breath, you'll never, that care will not be removed from you. They're part of you. And you'll always think about them and wonder about them. And you'll always be concerned about them. And you'll always worry about them. And you'll always be concerned when they're making their choices in life. And they're going down roads that causes you to fear for them. And it's just kind of sad. You know, I think sin has done this. I don't believe God designed everything where that by the time we learn the truth about things, we're ready to die. I don't believe it was meant to be that way. But that's the way it is. You just don't understand until it's too late. And that's why God gives us these commandments. It's good counsel for us to make the best out of life. Honor your father and your mother. Let me hurry up here. The withholding of honor simply shows that we really think more of ourselves. And we think we're more worthy of the honor ourselves than the parents who gave us life and kept us alive until we got old enough to dishonor them. Now, when we come into the world, our father and mother are in God's stead for us. That's the way it is. They have our complete trust and confidence. They do. When you're little, you don't believe mom and dad. You know, if things are anywhere near a normal, you don't think they can make any mistakes. You think that they can do anything. Nothing's impossible for them. Because you've looked to them from the time you were born for everything you need, and they've always provided it. It never enters your mind, and when you're a little child like that, that father or mother would lead you wrong or tell you a lie. They tell you the truth. They have our complete dependence upon them for all our needs. Your mom and dad are totally responsible for everything about you. That your drawers are changed, that you got plenty to eat, that you're taken care of when you're sick. That people leave you alone when you're asleep so you can get that nap you need in the afternoon. We rely on them 100% for our protection. We go to them exclusively for comfort and assurance. These little ones here, you know, now they just love me and they'll come to me and all of that. But when they get hurt, I mean, just if they fall and bump their head or something, you know, I can't comfort them. I try, but they ain't good enough. I'm a good buddy, but boy, when it comes to comfort and you got pain here, they're looking for mother. They're looking for mother. That's right. Think about that a little bit. Mighty important person in your life. We talk about these little ones, you know. It's just a challenge to keep them alive. Because they'd destroy themselves. They'll drink poison. They'll jump off of the roof. If they got up there, they'd just jump right off. They ain't got no sense. Livy climbs up the back of the couch and stands on the back of the couch. And she can't even walk. And if she'd fall, it'd be too blam, 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 right down. She don't think about that. Somebody's got to be watching and catching her. Or else she'd get hurt real bad. End up crippled for life. I mean, that's what a parent does. That's what they do every minute of every hour of every day from the time you come into this world. Well, that's worthy of a little bit of honor. Yeah. It's... Nobody can even begin to take their place. God designed us it all this way on purpose. When we all come into a world with a clean slate and a good roadmap to find our way to Him, that's why He designed it this way. It's hard to comprehend a Heavenly Father if you never had a real Father. That's what's wrong. That's one of the things wrong in our world, in our society, in our country. See, they want rid of Father. They don't like that masculine influence. Well, it ain't working too well for them. It ain't never going to work until that's restored. And when the whole thing blows up and falls in and burns to the ground, that's what it's going to revert right back to. Because God designed it that way. A boy needs a father, and a girl needs a father and a mother. You don't need two mothers. You don't need a mother and a sissy father. And you don't need a father and a macho mother. You need a feminine mother. And you need a masculine man. And they both need to be strong. And they need to be together on the whole deal. That's why I'm preaching on honor thy father and thy mother. I know it's Mother's Day, but mother and father are supposed to be one. And if you got any hope of things working and raising children that are balanced and got a head on them straight, it's got to be that way. And you mothers need to hear some good advice for you. And you fathers, do not contradict one another in front of your children. You better back one another up, even if they're wrong. You better back them up in front of the children. Save your arguing till you're out of their hearing and sight. Don't let them hear you. Don't let them see you in conflict over how to deal with them. They'll work you. I mean, if they see that, you've lost the battle. Because they'll work one against the other. And they'll destroy themselves in the process. But something happens to challenge this design of God and overthrow it. Its importance is undeniable. Because its exalted position in God's law, in God's basic moral law. We see this. We said it in the beginning. Its importance is very evident by the number of times it's in the Bible and how it's stressed over and over, and that Jesus stressed it also. It's a basic step in getting acquainted with and knowing God. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 6, Jesus said this. The Bible says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?" Well, if you don't honor your parents, your father and mother, and you don't fear your master even, then you're not honoring God. So when a child gets out of the way in this matter of honoring his father and mother, he is sure to miss God. Now, that's a fact that you can bank. You can put her in the bank. If you see a child that despises his mother or father or both, you can put her down. He is going to miss God. He's already missed God. He's not going to know God. That's part of this trespass we've been talking about. This is a trespass. You injure. You harm. You do damage and harm to other people when you disobey the commandments of God. That's what they're about. And it's the first thing you must correct if you're ever going to get back to God. If you're ever going to be reconciled to God, the trespass offerings, the first step, you got to try to make amends and fix what you've done to hurt other people. And these little children that you see in the store screaming and hollering and won't listen and won't obey and call her parents' names and stuff, you're looking at a future reprobate. You're looking at a future violent detriment to society. A future inhabitant of hell. That's what you're looking at. You ought to grieve about that. There's no way a person can honor God while failing to honor his parents. You better get that in the bank too. Ain't no way you can be right with God while you're dishonoring your parents. And there's two things here, and I'm going to hit it before I quit. But it's one thing to dishonor them. It's another thing to just not honor them. Much less will he be able to honor God while dishonoring his parents. So people that don't honor their parents can't be honoring God. There's no way. They may think they are. They may be religious. They may be a preacher, even, or a missionary, or something else. But if they're dishonoring their parents, or they're failing to honor their parents, they're not honoring God. God's not pleased with that. God just don't overlook it and say, "Well, you know, we'll make exception for him or her." Nope. Therefore, it's no surprise that the devil would go all out to attack and undermine this commandment above all others. Boy, he accomplishes it through the influences outside of the home. Outside of the home. Child's not going to do that in the home. It's outside of the home where he learns, where he gets this idea, where he gets this okay to go ahead and dishonor his parents. Peers are the best tool the devil has to transfer the natural affection and honor that children have for their parents to some teenage friend or group of greenhorn self-proclaimed philosophers and wise guys with pimples all over their face because they're teenagers and don't understand nothing. Ain't that right? Isn't that where most of them learn to dishonor their parents? Tell them, her the other day, we were talking about it. You know, you in here young, you young people, just in school, about to get out of school, just got out of school, whatever. You know, the people that you're making your life choices about right now to try to please so that you don't have to hang your head in their presence. Let me just give you a little word of advice here. 10 years from now, they ain't going to be no part of your life. They're going to be gone. And it ain't even going to be like, is this going to be like a dream or something that happened to you? The people that I went to school with ain't even a part of my life anymore. That's right. So you're going to waste your life making choices so you can be cool in front of them when they don't even matter. Let me tell you who's going to be around 10 years from now, Lord willing, if the Lord is merciful to you, your parents. Yeah, your family, the people who really matter to your life. Those are the ones you better be concerned about honoring and guarding against dishonoring them with your life. It's so plain that there's an evil power at work in this because it's so unnatural for this to happen. Why is it? How it is so unnatural. You say, no, it's just what everybody does. No, that's because of this sinful world. That's why. You should never stop loving your parents. You should, the farther you go, the more you ought to think about them and think of them. And what I see is this. People don't do it until they're dead. I see a lot of people do that. I've watched people through my life, and it always was a frustration to me. I'd hear wives just be mean to their husband, badmouth them, and just make their life miserable. And then when they die, they're at the funeral, and they're just on the floor wallowing and crying and hooping and carrying on, and they can't go on with life because... What is that about? You know, I remember hearing you cuss him and rail on him and badmouth him and treat him like dirt. No, that's a bunch of junk. You ought to treat people like you value them. That's honor. You ought to treat them with respect and reverence and submission, and that's the way we ought to treat everybody. But much more. Your father and your mother. Hope y'all are listening, you kids especially. Failing to honor your father and mother is a terrible, wicked sin. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. You know what Romans chapter 1 is about, don't you? It's about the decline of mankind. I mean, it's the road to depravity. It's from knowing God to ending up with a reprobate mind, rejected. This is the way it goes. And these are the sins that are involved. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Well, that covers it all right there, don't it? But then he goes on and names some particulars. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And look what's right here in the middle of it. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. That's these women that are aborting their babies and throwing them in dumpsters and flushing them in the toilets and wanting to kill them even after they're born. That's what that is. Right there with disobedient to parents. You may not think it's on even ground, but God does. Over and over, He puts it in verses just like this, right on level ground with the rest of it. It's a terrible thing. If you don't honor your father and mother, the Bible says you're worthy of death. Worthy of death. Now you may not like that, but you're just at odds with God. That's from God's viewpoint, from God's perspective, from God's mind. That's how important it is. That's how bad it is. Disobedient parents, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. These people know that people who do this are worthy of death. And it says, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's why you got Hollywood and movies and all this horror stuff and all this ungodly, immoral, sodomite movies and everything else. Because people, they do it. If they don't do it themselves, they like to watch other people do it. That's why all the music's the same way. You sing about adultery, and you sing about drunkenness, and you sing about everything else that's violating the Word of God and the law of God. They have pleasure in it. They know it's worthy of the judgment of God, but they do it anyway. This verse plainly states that children who are disobedient to their parents are worthy of death. Mm. And all we think they're worthy of is 10 minutes of time out. Or take away their phone for 2 hours. Mm. Disrespectful, insolent children, teenagers. You know what they did in the Old Testament? You know what the law says about that? If you have a son who's a glutton and a drunkard and he won't listen to nothing, do you know how many of you know what God said to do with him? You take him to the elders of the city and they take him out and then you say, this is our son. We can't do nothing with him. He won't listen. He won't obey. He's a glutton and a drunkard. They take him outside of the city and stone him with stones. So shalt thou put evil from among you. You love God? Do you love God this morning? That's the God of the Bible. How idolatrous do you think we are in our day? Have we invented another God that's okay with all this? He loves everybody. He just forgives everything before you ever do it. No, don't worry. Ain't no need to worry. Jesus, it covers it all. He's covered it all. Grace covers it all. Grace don't cover nothing. That's right. The blood of Christ does not cover anything. It takes away your sin. If you've ever had it applied to you. If it hadn't been applied, you're still a sinner. And you don't think this stuff's so serious. And it's abominable to you that God would say such a thing as that. I'm just going to tell you, you don't know God. This is big stuff, mighty important stuff. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, I think we're in the last days, don't you? Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I seen Seth's message Wednesday night was on this heresy of self-love. That's what they're telling everybody. You can't love nobody else till you love yourself. Well, you didn't get that out of the Bible. Nowhere. Genesis to Revelation. You never got that out of the Bible. He that loveth his life shall what? Lose it. But if you'll lose your life for my sake, the same shall find it. Jesus said, you got to die. You got to be crucified with Christ before you can ever live, before you can ever have any life. You're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. And the second liking to it, Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's it. That's the law. That sums it all up. Not one word about loving yourself. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. I've heard it on the radio. I heard years ago a preacher on the radio saying you got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. Mm-mm-mm. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Here it is again. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural effects. Same list. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of them that are good. Oh, yeah, they always are. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. So the verse tells us plainly that we're to turn away from those who are disobedient to their parents. Turn away from them. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 7 and 8. In these have they sent light. They have set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised mine holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths. What was the first transgression? They said light by father and mother. There's a generation that despise their father, that hates their father and mother. We're in that generation right now. It's a cycle he's talking about there. It's not just the last days. Civilization's always been that way. There's a cycle to it. And this is that generation. It's a violent generation. The generation, the same one that despises their, that doth not honor their father and mother, they're violent and killers. They're fierce. Despisers of them that are good. That's where we're at. Last days. Perilous times. That's what he's talking about. It's worse than adultery. It's worse than murder. It's worse than stealing. It's worse than lying. All these are wrong because they hurt other people. And by doing any of these things, you're showing that you're not in compliance with the first two commandments also. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord above everything. If just not honoring your father and mother is, wait a minute, let me say, if just not honoring your father and mother is a sin, how much more wicked is it in the sight of God to dishonor them? How do you dishonor? Well, is there any need for me to explain that? When you say things, when you do things to bring them down, when you slander, when you demean, when you live your life in such a way as to do that to them. John Newton came in one of his tears, and his father's name was John Newton. He said, "Son, when you were born, I gave you my name, and you have... And now everybody knows John Newton's this boy, see, he said, you've dishonored my name, my reputation." Of course, he was so vile. "Let me tell you about your reputation. I'll tell you what people say about you behind your back." That's his... He said, "No, son, I'll tell you what people are saying. They're saying you are a worthless, no account, despicable human being for the way you're living." He dishonored his father. Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Now, if you didn't like the Old Testament and you think all of God's killing took place in the Old Testament, that's Jesus talking right there. Jesus said it. You hear me? That's Jesus' words. That ain't Exodus, that ain't Moses, that ain't way back yonder somewhere in the dark ages, dark times when everybody was just so... This is Jesus. He said, let him die the death. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17, The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Go ahead and mock God. We'll see who's true and who's a fool. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 16. "Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen." The young rebel who dishonors his father and mother, ain't nobody on his side. If you're one of them this morning, better hear me. Ain't nobody on your side. You're dreaming. All the people say amen. All the people's going to say amen when you get what's coming to you. Because there's a whole lot of mothers and fathers. And they kind of identify with that. You know, they see somebody's child that's a rebel and breaking their heart and dishonoring them and destroying their, you know, causing people to think ill. They look at that and say, man, that just ain't right. That low-down young boy, girl, whichever it is, they all do it. Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land. What did it do? It brought dishonor on her whole family and on her father. Disaster. And a bunch of people died because of it. Why couldn't she just stay at home and honor her father and her mother? And do what was right. People would have lived. It would have been a great... But nope, nope, nope. Had to get out. Had to go out. She went out to see the daughters of the land. If a man... In Deuteronomy chapter 21. Let me hurry here. Deuteronomy chapter 21 verse 18. If a man have... This is what I was telling you a while ago. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place, And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 17, and he that curseth father or mother, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Leviticus 20 and verse 9. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He that cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. First in the list of adultery, incest, and other wicked sins there in Leviticus. That's the first one he names. Adultery, and incest, and all kinds of other wicked sins. That's the first one he talks about. Proverbs 30, verse 11, there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. And that's where we're at. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20, and you don't have to be a part of that generation. You don't have to be a part of this generation that's doing this. Dare to be different. Kids at church used to sing that song, I'll dare to be different. Yeah, in a world of compromise, I'll dare to be different. Proverbs 20, verse 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. I remember Brother Owen telling me, he told me a lot of times, he said, I'll never live to be real old. He said, because that's, he said, I dishonored my parents. Well, I think he turned 78 or 79 on his last birthday. Well, it's a sin. And I got good news for you. Sin can be forgiven. Amen. Taken away. That's what Jesus came for, to take away our sin. Amen. And that book, John Newton, before it was all over, he was reconciled with his dad. He didn't get to see him face to face because the circumstances just worked it out where they were separated, but all was well. Amen. All was well. You know, he admitted what he was. And his father, just like any father that's real will do, said, all is forgiven, son. Yeah, all's well. No matter what he'd done. I mean, for years he had cut a swath all over the world. And everywhere he went, when they heard his name, well, you're so-and-so's son. Father said, that's all right. No, I mean, sin can be forgiven. Honor thy father and thy mother, not just with words, but with your life. The highest honor given to a father and a mother is a child whose life causes other people to realize they had good parents. And what causes them to honor them too. You know, that's the way it is. I know people like that. I mean, I talk about Brother Owen, but I never knew his father. He died long before I ever met him. But I feel kind of like I do, because he talked about him so much and told me so much about him that, you know, when I think of that man, all I can do is honor him. You know, I can't think evil of him. I think honorable about him. That's the best way you can honor your parents. Even a child is known by his doings. If you live your life and you're the kind of person that makes other people think, who in the world raised that boy, that girl? They must have been godly people. They must have been good people. That's the best way you can honor your parents. Yes. Y'all hear me, you children? You remember that. You remember that when you're on the brink of sin. While the devil is in your ear, tugging you and lying to you and trying to woo you over, you better remember that. Just remember. Much is at stake. And it's a thing that is pretty hard to heal. Yeah, there's forgiveness. The boy, that prodigal who came home. I mean, it all ended. We like the way it ended, but let me tell you, there were some things lost there that were never recovered. Yeah, he come home. Father ran to meet him, was glad he was home, totally forgave him, restored his place, but there was a lot gone that wasn't recovered. So don't think you can just do this as lightly as you do other things and there ain't going to be no consequences. There will be consequences. I mean, they talk about this full living to the fullest and having life and joy and all of that and peace. And I mean, you ought to, if you really want that, if you want the best, then just do right from the beginning. Don't wander off and throw it away. Don't wander off and lose it out there in the world. Honor your father and your mother. You'll be glad you did. I've watched people at deathbeds who've not done right. And I can promise you that they regret it. You need to realize that life is short and there's an end in sight. And it's drawing closer all the time. And you need to live your life so that when you're at the end and you're fixing to go out that door, that everything's well with everybody. Pretty good just to, much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, that's a good thing to do because it just makes life a lot better. It's bad if you meet enemies every turn you make. You're running into somebody who hates you, somebody who's got something against you. I don't want life like that. Do the best you can to honor your mother and your father. And honor, the Bible even says, honor all men. So, if you get right with God, you wouldn't have any trouble honoring mother and father. Because you honor everybody. Amen. All right, we'll stand. Yeah, I'll quit. I didn't mean to. But I hope you get it this morning. We're all on the same road, see? We're traveling this road. I was looking at a bunch of pictures last night that I've got. I used to take a lot of pictures. And it was just 2003. Boy, that don't sound like that. It was so long ago, does it? That was 16 years ago. My hair wasn't gray. My whiskers wasn't gray. I looked a whole lot younger. I noticed the same thing about everybody else. I see a lot of people in those pictures. They're gone now. They're not here no more. And I look in the mirror and I don't see the same person I seen in them pictures. And let me just give you a little bit of news there. David's standing there. He ain't got no gray hair that I can see. But, well, it ain't a showing. Eh? But you're going to wake up just in a few days here and look in the mirror and this is what you're going to see. So, every day, get up and promise God you're going to do your best to honor all men and to honor the things that mean something in your life. And like the song they said, God has blessed you. I mean, beyond measure, if you just count them. Be thankful. Praise God. Love Him. Love other people. That it may be well with thee. Amen. All right, bow with me. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, this is a strong medicine, but it ought to be easy for us to swallow. And Lord, we just need to swallow it. No matter what our circumstances in life have been, I know people who they struggle with this because their life wasn't in order and their home, their mother and father weren't what they should have been. But Lord, help them to be able to understand this truth and apply it in their life and give honor to whom honor is due. And Lord, pray you'd bless it to our hearts now. We love you. Thank you for doing it this way. Thank you for the instruction that you give us here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.